Now NPR's Joanne Silberner continues with her story on a healthcare co-op in rural Uganda.
From the remote mountaintop village of Buweju, the nearest hospital is hours away. Almost no one has a car or even enough money to pay for a ride. That's why the local health co-op decided to hire the local taxi, called a matatu, as an ambulance service for pregnant women who need to get to the hospital.
All right, wish me luck.
Today, the health co-op is inaugurating the matatu service. And George Halverson, an American advisor to the co-op, is the reluctant driver for the first short ceremonial ride. He's got four large women as passengers. The taxi doesn't look very reliable. It's a beat-up, muddy Toyota with bald tires. Finally, a dubious Halverson gets it started, and the matatu rolls forward. A look of concern crosses his face as he realizes the foot brake doesn't work. His passengers look nervous, too. The car stalls as he pulls on the handbrake. After a short distance, it comes to a full stop, and the relieved passengers escape. Finally, the day-long celebration ends. George Halverson, Scott Abisher, and their Ugandan colleagues climb into their van and drive off down the bumpy mountain road. The villagers begin to wander off. On the other side of the mountain, at the Free Government Clinic, the man who was stabbed isn't doing so well. Staff don't have the supplies even to clean his wound. And so the family and friends of Arias Muharris pick up his stretcher again and head towards their last hope, the co-op clinic in Buweju. As the regular afternoon downpour begins in Buweju, some of the women take shelter in the old clinic building.
My name is Jennifer Tomasime. I'm 36 years old. This is my sixth baby.
Tomasime nuzzles her swaddled baby as she talks. She's had some difficult times.
One time I had a bad problem. I almost had a miscarriage at home, and it was very hard, but I had to find a way to get to the hospital on my own.
It was touch and go.
We managed to hire a taxi, but we had to find 30,000 shillings to pay for it.
That's $18, more cash than the family could pull together.
Usually, my husband works hard and saves a little money when I am pregnant. But this all happened so fast that we had to sell some of our belongings.
Two goats, that's a lot for a family here. But for the baby in her arms, she had already paid for her care at the co-op. She didn't have to worry. Finally, the rain tapers off. The women head home. And then the men carrying Arias Muharris on the stretcher appear through the mist. The clinic doctor is Edna Tumamweva. Everyone calls her Dr. Edna. She knows that to help Muharris, she'd have to use supplies paid for by the co-op. Still, he's been stabbed. He could die. So Dr. Edna tells the men to bring him into the examining room of the old clinic building. It's clean but spare. The only light comes from an unscreened window. The men lift him onto the examination table and go outside. Dr. Edna focuses on the bloody gash in his back. Muharris is barely conscious. Dark red blood drips from the wound as Dr. Edna probes it with her gloved finger.
Okay, he has an incised wound on the left shoulder. And it is fairly deep, about 3 centimeters deep, with a length of 2 centimeters and a width of about 1 centimeter.
She needs to know if his lung has been punctured, but without an x-ray machine or the surgical equipment to do a more thorough exam, she can't tell. So she cleans the wound and bandages it. Dr. Edna has done what she can. Arias Muharris needs more help, fast.
So we are referring him for further management. to a hospital.
When she tells the family and friends, they look stricken. They won't be able to carry him down the mountain. In an hour, it will be dark. The co-op can't afford to pay for the taxi. Connor Winnington, one of the Uganda Health Cooperative organizers, has been trying to negotiate for the family with a matatu driver. But gas is very expensive here. The driver can't do it for free.
But right now, the struggle seems to be on means of transport to get the nearest provider. So it cost him 40,000 to get to Bushenyi. That's one thing they may find difficult.
Finally, American visitors who came to the ceremony paid the $24 that will get Muharris a ride down the mountain. The matatu leaves just as the sun goes down. The taxi makes it safely to a large hospital run by Seventh-day Adventists that doesn't demand payment before treatment. Doctors determined that the spear tip didn't penetrate Muharris's lung, and they clean and close the wound. In the recovery ward 2 days later, Muharris talks shyly through a nurse translator. What did you think was going to happen to you?
He thought of dying.
How will you pay for your care here? What will happen?
That he will go back and sell some of his properties.
Muharris says he'd like to join a health co-op, but the health plan hasn't reached his village yet. The organizers don't want to expand too far or too fast, not until they're absolutely sure their co-op model works. Uganda Health Cooperative now has 12 co-ops up and running in Uganda with 2,500 members. Small numbers compared to the vast need in Uganda. But the challenge of building something only if it will last weighs heavily on American advisor George Halverson.
The first meeting we had over here, we had a bunch of co-op leaders in a little open sort of shed, and we were talking about the program and what we thought we might be able to accomplish. And one of the leaders stood up and said, this is too important to us. This is the health of our children. This is the health of our family. If you do something, don't make promises and then don't deliver. Don't make promises and break your heart.
Health officials in the Ugandan government recognize that the country doesn't have enough money to support a strong central health care system. They're watching how the co-ops work, looking to see if they could provide a model to build on. That prospect is years in the future. But if the Buweju co-op and others like it succeed, it could mean that someday in Uganda, a simple event like a pregnancy, a mosquito bite, or even a serious injury won't carry the threat of bankruptcy or even death. Joanne Silberner, NPR News, Buweju, Uganda.